Awesome. Good morning. It's the first Sunday of school holidays. Yay! Okay. Teachers were like, yeah, everyone else is like, that sucks. Look on the bright side, it means less traffic tomorrow morning. There we go. You can probably like sleep 5 minutes later tomorrow. It's great news. School holidays is a win-win for everyone. I'd love to carry on what I was sharing on last week. Last week we spoke about the way, that as we grow and as we become disciples of Jesus, that actually the disciples initially after Jesus left, they were called the followers of the way. We read in the book of Acts that those are the people that Paul is persecuting, those who followed the way. And we know that Jesus is the one who sets the tone. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And then last week we looked at this parable where actually the way of salvation, the way of becoming a disciple, is that we have to take responsibility for the soil of our hearts. That actually God is the one who brings and sows seed in our life, and our responsibility, like those different types of soil, is how we would receive what God brings to us. But it's His responsibility, and that's what we ended with. It's actually God's responsibility to bring the growth. It's our responsibility to tend to the soil. And I want to elaborate on that this morning. But I wanted to tell you that that parable is really important. And I'd advise you go and read it again for yourself. Because in Mark 4 verse 13 it says this. And then Jesus said to them, he's talking to his disciples just after he's explained that parable. He said, and then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the others? And so what he's actually doing is, when he teaches them, he's actually teaching them a key to how to understand the parable. He's teaching them what is them, what is the word, what is the kingdom, what is their responsibility. And so when you read the next few parables, which is what I want to do this morning, this scripture shows us that you read these parables in light of the first one. The first one gives us a way to understand the rest. Does that make sense? So we're going to talk about farming. Do you get that? It's the preceding scriptures. There's one about light, which we're not going to read this morning. But the next two are about farming. It's talking about how the seed grows. And the way that you interpret those parables is through the first one. Which means when we read about the seed is speaking about what God does. The kingdom. The message of salvation. The faith that takes root. That's how we to interpret these. And when we read about the soil, we'll read about our part to play. Our responsibility. What we need to do. Is that okay? Awesome. So Mark 4, verse 26 to 29. So Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. And night and day, while he is asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. Remember whose role and responsibility and how we're reading the scripture. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. And so there's two aspects to this parable that I want us to understand this morning. The one is the responsibility of when we sow the seed, like the farmer, when we share the message of the gospel, when we do what God has called every single one of us to do, which is to not just receive the message, but you've received it, now give it. And after you've sowed the seed, what is your response? Is it your job to make the seed grow?
Nope.
Is it your effort that is going to make the seed grow?
Nope.
That actually there is this first principle of the parable, that which is that as the seed takes root in the soil, from the earth, from the person, the message of salvation, when it comes into your life, it will grow and start to produce. And do you know what this parable says? It happens in stages. It's gradual. Do you know that you grow more and more mature? The Bible, there is consistently this theme that is speaking about, and it's tagging on to us talking about discipleship. It's saying the journey of following Jesus, the journey of the way of God, is that as you've received the message from the first time you heard it, your life is about growing in your relationship with God. Not staying a seed forever. Not becoming a little sprout and remaining a sprout forever. But actually, the plan of God in all of us as we follow Him is that we would grow up in the Lord. That there would first be, and this is what happens in our lives, I don't know if you've experienced this since you gave your life to the Lord, that actually it first like pops through the soil. You barely look any different to the world around you. There's just this one little leaf blade that sticks out. It's kind of like you maybe start wearing like a WWJD bangle, I don't know. But you're not fully actually above and out the soil. There's something small that's taken root and it's grown. And that's how it starts. If you are new, like a lot of us in this room are, on our journey with Jesus, that actually, in the beginning, you don't look all that much different. What has happened inside of you is very different to the world. A seed has come. You've received the message. It's come and it's given life. And there is something new inside of you. It's like, am I right? Do you relate to that feeling of when the gospel takes root in your life? Something changes, but you don't exactly know what it is. And then it starts to grow. And as it starts to grow, it starts to look more and more like God is what God is producing. But what I want to emphasize this morning is I think sometimes this is where we do the wrong thing. I think sometimes we are trying to be overly involved in the growth process. I think that we try and shape and form behaviors because we think that's what is going to produce fruit, when in actual fact, we need to make sure that the soil is free from rocks and weeds and that the birds don't steal the seed away. But actually, the growing of the actual wheat in this illustration, that responsibility is God. And can I tell you what is the most assuring thing for me? Is that He is the author of my salvation and He is the perfecter. Because if it was up to me, I would stuff this up. If it was up to me to be saved, I would totally mess this up. Every single time. I wouldn't just ruin it. I would absolutely destroy it. Because there is nothing in me that is capable. There's nothing. The good things about me is Him. The good in my life of what is, it's Him. And on my own, I actually cause death and destruction. Some of the stories that we've heard over the last few weeks were how when we left to our own devices, we destroy our lives and we destroy lives around us. God is the one who brings. Jesus said, I am the life. I am the life. If your life is symptomatic of destruction, if the symptoms around you are not life and things coming to the ground, I would ask you, I would say to you, what is going on with the seed in your heart? Because when Jesus is at work inside of you, life comes out of you. In every area. In terrible circumstances, life comes out of you. In tough times, life comes out of you. When judgment day is coming, life comes out of you. Amen. Yay. Woo-hoo, we're excited. Like, honestly, I think sometimes we verge so far on not wanting to be, the term would be hyper faith, that I think sometimes we miss out on the reality. God is doing something inside of us in a world that is dying. You are growing. And life is coming out of you. And that life that is just a sprout, it wants to turn into a full wheat, which will actually have a harvest. Amen. God wants your life to bear fruit, not survival. This is not about survival. God didn't create you to survive. He made you to thrive. That you would bear fruit, and that fruit would become seed. And that seed would take root in other soil, and that soil would come to life, and then out of that soil there would be something that grows, and that it would bear fruit, and then that fruit would become seed. And so God wants to do this cycle in us, but it requires the life of God coming into us again. Man, in worship this morning, I wanted to grab you by the cheeks and kiss you and tell you, Jesus is alive. Put a smile on your face. Jesus is alive. You can be excited about this morning. Yo, you know what? The weather might be cold, but can I tell you what? You didn't wake up in Joburg.
Yeah, Mark, am I right? That's cold. This is not cold.
You might have a bit of rain, yes, but you can go home and see a mountain and look at the ocean. There is a reason to smile. Hey, Andrew, amen. We've lived the Gauteng life. We understand. The second aspect is how we receive the seed. So the one is, when you plant the seed, it's not your responsibility what's going to happen. The second is, as the seed takes root in your life, God is going to start to bring, he wants to bring life, and he wants that life to lead to fruitfulness. Oh, Tama, 10 minutes minus. And he wants that fruitfulness to lead to seed, and he wants that seed to take root, and then he wants that thing, and on and on and on. Purpose. There is a reason you exist. It's not to get to tomorrow. It's not. Amen. Yay. We're happy. We're loving it. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what happens when we try to get overly involved in the process of producing fruit? We went through a stage in the world where what happened is we realized that, oh my goodness, population is booming. We need to increase food, and we just want to get out mass volumes of food. So they went to wheat and other crops that produce harvest, and they came in and they genetically modified them. And they said, oh, you know what? If we made these things more resistant to pests, then we would get a better percentage yield on our crop. So let's change something inside of them so that they're more resistant to pests. Then they're like, oh, you know what? Let's also do this. And if we change this aspect about them, they'll grow faster. And if we change this aspect about them, and do you know what you eventually land up with? A wheat that is so genetically modified that it has no nutritional value. And if anything, causes harm. And then the world swings back to this other extreme about saying, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't want to eat of all the stuff that's mass-produced. We want to grow it in our own garden where we can see that nobody has genetically modified this thing, because when we get overly involved in the wheat, when we dictate how it should grow and what it should do, we come up with a monstrosity. Do you know that the same is with the Christian? That when the seed and the life of God is in someone and it's beginning to grow, and then all of a sudden we want to come and be like, hey, well, listen, Donovan, I'm so glad you accepted the Lord. This is amazing. Do you know what that means? You now have to, you get the privilege of waking up at 5 o'clock every morning and having the most intense quiet time, because that's what Christians do, because it leads to fruit. So we genetically modify him. You must have this, and it must look like this. And if you don't, you should feel bad. Because then you're not going to produce as much fruit as you could. And when you do this, this aspect of your faith should look like this. And when you do this, this aspect of your faith, this is how a Christian would do this. This is how a Christian would do that. This is how, when you get overly involved in the life cycle, in the producing stage of this thing, in your own life and in others, we create these monstrosities that aren't even nutritional at the end. We don't want to. Can I make this statement? And I'm saying it as an absolute. We do not want to make Christians fast. We do not want to produce instant believers. Just add hot water. Look, 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 boom. There we go. We've got a disciple. Now he gets on with life. There is this. The way of God as a disciple is you go through stages of growth, and it's normal, and it's natural, and it's healthy. You don't become a fruit producing wheat in the second month at this high out the ground. Like, okay, I'm over here, I'm gonna pop a kernel out. It's like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like we always want to, we watch the metrics. We want to achieve. We want to be efficient. We want to be optimal. What did Jesus invite the disciples to? A way of life. A rhythm of life. I want to tell you this as a disclaimer. If you've given your life to Jesus or recommitted your life in the last 12 months, and maybe you don't look like Declan. No, you're a holy dude. Do you know what? It takes time to get to maturity. Oh, yeah, but I'm not like, it takes time. What do we spend that time doing? Focusing on the condition of the soil. That means in worship, when I come to worship and I don't feel like it, do you know what genetic modification is? Okay, guys, so we're going to worship now. So what you have to do, because you're Christians, and because you're part of this church, is when you worship, you need to worship like this. This is what fruit in worship looks like. And then we tell you how you ought to be. That's genetic modification. What it's supposed to be is, guys, if there is something inside of you that doesn't want to worship, this is a soil issue. This means there is something in your, because the natural response to grace is praise. The natural response to mercy is gratitude. I don't come here on a Sunday morning and conjure up. I'm actually exhausted from preaching and worshiping. I'm like not preach fit. I was tired in worship. That's why I stopped. I was like, Eric, bro, like we need to calm Michael down because I'm hitting like 180s heart rate here. I can't keep up with him. I didn't say that. I'm not trying to conjure something up. I'm not trying to be something. When I stand there and my mouth goes, "Ah, all hail King Jesus," I want to make sure that when I'm saying all hail King Jesus, that is what I'm seeing in my heart. All hail King Jesus. There was a moment. There was a moment when the lights went out. And for Daniel, that was the greatest day in history. When the world was covered in darkness, when Jesus died on the cross, it means the sin of my life was taken with him and covered and atoned for. Not just the sin that I've done, but the sin that I will do. And that if I live in a relationship with him and I keep in repentance and I love him and I walk towards him, that for me is the greatest day in history. That is the thing that has changed my life forever. And that's watching the condition of the soil. From that point, praise is easy. I don't know, embarrass him, but I even saw this in little Niall this morning. I hope he's not listening. He was sitting here in worship the whole time, and he was just chilling, coloring in. Morgan was like, "You can't color in on the stage." He's like, "This is me. I'm doing this." And worship was, I could just see, it was like, it became too much, and he just got up and he jumped around on the stage a bit. He was like, "I just can't help it." And then he sat back down again with Morgan. It's like, that's what happens inside of us. It's like, when God does something on the inside, it's not that people are telling you what to do, it's that there's something happening inside of you, and I just can't, but that's the fruit of my life. It's produced out of the life. Is that cool? Don't get involved in genetic modification. Seth. Don't try and think that changing your behavior is going to save you. But on the contrary, Mark 4, verse 30 to 33. But Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it?" Okay, like this. It's like a mustard seed that is planted in the ground. Remember, how are we reading this parable? Through the others. It's like a mustard seed that's planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all the garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. And Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach people as much as they could. And I want, so I want to look at this. Do you know what we do when we don't understand a parable? We just carry on reading. We just like, okay, let's go to the next part. I didn't really get that. Let's just, cool, that's a great story. But so what Jesus is saying, he's saying, how can I communicate this to you? Let me put it this way. Because he's used the first two to emphasize about how the seed brings the life and it comes from not what we do, but what God does. He says, it's like, do you know what happens when you give your life to the Lord? The smallest thing in your life is your faith at that point. It's a big moment, but it's your life is pretty much very secular at that time. You're still living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're still in, your habits are still as deep as they were. Your behavior at the moment of salvation has not yet changed. Your faith has changed, and it's this smallest seed that comes and takes root in our life. But the danger is, when that small seed comes and it takes root in our life, we sometimes want to get into clearing out the garden to make space for the mustard tree. Like, hey, ooh, okay. There, you've now got a seed, someone responds, maybe you've responded, or sometimes as old believers, we can do this in our own lives. We're like, oh, okay, there's a seed that's taken root. What we need to do right now is pull out all the weeds and make this garden into a beautiful little flower bed that's ready to grow. And so we're going to change everything about you. You're going to start wearing faith t-shirts. You're going to start going to every single meeting every week. And that's not wrong. You need to give up smoking. You need to give up this. You need to give up that. You need to change all these habitual things about your life. This is what you need to do because you're a Christian. And I'm saying that thing is, those are not wrong, but that's not how you go about it. What Jesus says is when this seed takes root, and it does take root, and then it begins to grow, do you know what happens? This plant went from being the smallest thing in your life, starts to become the most important thing in your life. It means that it comes from the inside. It's not enforced from the outside. It's not you must, you shall, you would. It's inside of you as I can, I could. It's not like, hey, you must fast. It's like, what's fasting? Oh my goodness. You mean there's a way that we can actually put food away and focus on the Lord in an effort to try and draw closer to Him because I love Him and I want to be near Him? I want to do that. That's the small mustard seed starting to grow into a big tree. And initially, and at times, when the mustard seed is busy growing, you can't really tell it apart from everything else. Other than there, you know there's a mustard seed there. And I've experienced that. And there are times in my life when I know I'm battling with this, I'm going through this, this is happening, but I know that God is doing something inside of me. And again, I'm not advocating bad behavior. I'm not advocating sin. That's like in Romans when people say, if grace abounds when we sin, shouldn't we sin more? No. It just means when there is sin, there is grace. And as this tree begins to grow, it starts to displace all the other weeds in the garden. It starts to become the biggest and the most important thing. Do you know what one of the most difficult things in Joburg was? We lived in Benoni, the east. Yes, you should be afraid. And the road where our church was on is called Webb Street, and it's got oak trees. Now, I haven't noticed any of those around here. I think there's something wrong with the sandy soil that we've got. But these are massive trees. They are huge. And when these things grow, and they grow on the sidewalks, they actually create this like canopy that you see all the way down the road. It's beautiful. It's like an incredible tunnel. But when they grow, do you know that nothing else can grow around them? If you go near the base of an oak tree, it's just sand. You can't grow grass. You can't grow flowers. You can't grow weeds. It's just sand because that oak tree takes up all the nutrition in the soil. It gets everything out of the soil and everything goes to the oak tree. Nothing else survives around it. So if you have an oak tree in your garden, most people want to cut it down because it's a lightning hazard. Believe it or not, that's a thing in Joburg. But if you don't, nothing will grow around it. What Jesus is saying is very similar about the mustard seed in the garden, that as it begins to grow and become the biggest thing in the garden, naturally, the work that God is doing inside of you will start to kill the weeds and the things around you. That it's not about, I must do better. It's, I don't want to anymore. I've loved and walked with people in addiction for so long. And I want to tell you, willpower isn't enough. But desire and willpower, it's more than just a want to change. When there is a deep desire to change and a radical way to deal with things, I've always seen people come through. And so what this is telling us is saying that, man, in your walk with God, don't get so caught up on focusing in the weeds in your life. Focus on nurturing the seed that has been placed there. When you feel overwhelmed, it's not that these things are the symptom. Go to the root solution, which is the gospel, the message of Jesus. How do I overcome sin? As Daniel. When I sin in my anger, when I make mistakes, how do I overcome? Lord, it's you that I want. It's you. I don't beat myself up. I've tried that. It doesn't work. I've told many of you, like when I was stepped down from ministry because of a pattern of sin in my life. So stepped down. Went from working full-time for the church to unemployed and having to look for work and like a 2-year reboot in my life. And honestly, I think that process could have been much shorter if I didn't beat myself up for so long. If I actually just pushed into what the Lord was doing inside of me and not externally the shame of what I've done, that process could have been so much faster. So often it's our shame and our inability or our not willing to deal with these things that causes them to go on forever. I don't want to respond, Lord, what if they know? I don't want to deal with this. In actual fact, Lord, it's the seed that I want to make sure is cared for. I want nothing to do with this. And as that seed begins to grow, it's like you wake up in you and your desires are new. It's like the things that you used to lust and yearn for anymore start to lose their appeal to you. And the things of God begin to grow in your heart in terms of desire. You go from doing things because you read them in the Bible, it's the right thing to do, to you actually find yourself in a desire to, this is what I want to do. My favorite thing is when people come to me and they're like, I've been reading my Bible. And it says that they're gifts of the Spirit. But I don't think I've got any. Like, could you pray for me? I'd like these. I'd love to be able to encourage people. And I'd love to ask God for gifts that He could give me. Because I see it's in His Bible. It's in His Word. It's the truth. It means it's real. And I don't have it. So therefore, could I ask God for it? I'm like, that's the sign of a real seed that's starting to grow. It's not, hey, you're all believers, you should have gifts. We're going to do a gifts analysis. Which is nothing wrong with the gifts analysis. We're going to do a gifts analysis, and then we're going to tell you what you are, as opposed to, man, this is what, I would love this. The Bible says, earnestly desire. Want them. Want. If you're losing the fight of sin in your life at times, and it's at a desire level, stop focusing on the sin. Start focusing on the seed. There's a heart thing. Spend time with Him. Get on your knees. Pray. Read your Bible. Ask Him. Cry out to Him. He's the one that can make it grow. Nobody here can. Guys like, oh man, Daniel, could you help me? I just, when you read your Bible, it's like it comes to life. When I read my Bible, it's nothing. I ask Him all the time, Lord, I'm going to read today. Could you help me? I don't want to just read a manual, to be honest. I don't like manuals. If you know me, you know I will take everything apart and try to put it back for 3 days before I go to the manual. And even then, that feels like a sign of weakness and loss. I have a labeling machine that I bought a cartridge for that broke, that is still in my garage waiting for me to go and fix, because for the last 3 days I haven't wanted to go there in case I can't fix it. The Bible's not the, it's not the manual of how the instructions of how you do this. It's the truth of God which leads to life. It's the truth of God which leads to life. If it's life that you're lacking, go to the source. If it's in your, I struggle with the zeal for life, and this is going on, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm sad, and I'm depressed, and I'm anxious, and I'm all of those things. I'm saying, and I need these help, and I'm saying, you do need help, but you need Jesus. He promises to be the life. Okay, moving on, then we're done. Landing. John 12, verse 24 to 26. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Truth. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Again, we're on the theme of discipleship, following him, being followers. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. The last scripture, James 1, verse 22 to 25. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just listen. You must do what it says. I'm not putting this on you. I've preached the whole preach to tell you that it's not external. It's internal. You do what you find in the scripture. That is how you tend to the seed in your life, and that's how you will come to bear fruit. If you read the word of God, if you have faith that it's true, and as you apply it, it will bear fruit. But you must obey it. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. I think that was pre-selfie. I think you all know what you look like because you selfie all the time. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and you do what it says, and you don't forget what you heard, is this prosperity gospel? Then God will bless you for doing it. I want to read that again. Are you battling not finding the blessing of God in your life? Are you not seeing the life of what God is growing inside of you? I urge you with this. Look into the perfect law. Look, read, search, seek it out. Do what it says. Don't forget what you've heard. And God will bless you for doing it. I feel like the Lord really wants to come and impart something of his life into us again. Not externally, internally. Can we stand? The first thing this morning is I never want to talk about the gospel or the saving grace of Jesus or the miracle of what he's done on the cross and not have an opportunity for somebody who's never responded to that, who's never received the seed. I'd never want to miss an opportunity like that. And so I wonder if we can bow our heads. This is not about you looking at anyone else around you. This is a moment between you and the Lord for yourself. If you've maybe never, we spoke about the seed that's growing and producing life, and if that doesn't resonate with you, if you feel like I haven't given my life to Jesus, I haven't served him, I haven't been a believer or a Christian, Actually, this is news to me. And you want to give your life to the Lord. Or at some point, maybe you decided, I want to, but actually there's no evidence of that seed even growing in your heart. We spoke last week about the birds that steal it away. And this morning you're saying, actually, Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. So either I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time, or Lord, I want to recommit my heart to you. I want today, from today, I want your life. I want this to be different moving forward. If that's you, I wonder if you could raise your hand where you are right now. I would love to pray with you this morning and ask the Lord to help you with your soil, that as that seed comes in, that it would grow. Is there anyone like that? Could you raise your hand? We would love to pray with you. That's amazing, Clay. Good job. Is there anybody else? That's awesome. I want to say this morning, this, do not miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. When it feels like the walls are closing in and the life has been taken and drained, there is a source of life. We need him. His name is Jesus. It's not just about life in this life. It's about after this life. It's about eternal life. I wonder if we can pray together as we pray with Clay. And if this is you as well, I'd love you to just repeat. We can all say it together. Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to follow you. Could your seed take root in my heart? Can you forgive me for my sin? I believe in you. I believe what you've done for me. I want to follow you. Amen. For the rest of us this morning, I'd love to pray that the Lord would come and for all of us again, almost reignite a fire on the inside. That he would come and do something of a growth internally. That it wouldn't be externally forced upon you, but that this morning, even again, that desire for his word, desire to grow. If you are the same as you were 3 years ago, you're not growing. There's something up in the soil. It's that we would grow up into maturity. I wonder if we can respond. Let's raise our hands together. Lord, I pray that this morning would you come and bring new life again inside of us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for those who have experienced your life and there is so much evidence of it. But Lord, for some of us, it's felt like I don't even know where this thing is. It looks like it's still under the ground. Lord, I pray, I thank you that you are the author and the perfecter, that you started this work in each and every one of us, and you are the one that's going to bring it to completion in every one of us. Lord, I thank you that we would have a revelation of your goodness, that we would have a revelation almost a boldness. Lord, I want your blessing. I want to follow you. I want to desire for you. I want to see the life of God in my life. Come and work in you. Come and work in you. I felt this one thing almost a word of knowledge this morning. I felt that there were some people who had almost felt like, this is me all the time. And I felt like the Lord is saying, like, have faith. I'm doing a work inside of you. Almost that, oh Lord, it's me again. With the same thing. He can do it. We can't do it. He can do it. Amen.